this morning, and we are, by the way, we are making CDs now, and I'm thankful for that. So if you miss a Sunday and you like to get caught up, you can get a copy of the CD and stay together. Does anyone know where we're at? We're in the book of Jude. We're in the book of Jude. And we said that we said that Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, and Jude has been referred to as do what?
The Acts of Jesus.
No. Thank you. The Acts of the Apostates. Jude is about the coming of the apostate or false preachers and teachers. You remember Peter said they are coming. Jude says they're here. And I don't think it's by any coincidence, because I don't believe in coincidences in the Bible. I think everything in the Bible is under the plan of God. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jude, saying they're here, is the book before Revelation that says Christ is here. Because if you recall, I gave you a verse last week in Timothy that said, in the last days, many shall depart from the faith. And we said that's what apostasy is, didn't we, Henry? Were you here? Oh, well, you would know. But that's what we said. So I'll not look to you for verification. A departing of the faith, it's not departing an ideology. The faith is what you hold in your lap, in your hand. It's the Word of God. Departing from the Word of God is departing the faith. Why? Would you rather me not ask you? Thank you. Departing the faith is departing the Word of God. Why? Why? He says they're inseparable. You gave me a verse that tells me that. Not that you were wrong. And I've told you this so many times. If your faith does not come, I start to say it's based on, that's nothing. If your faith does not come from the Word of God, it's not faith. Faith means trust. You can say it, it's okay, it's right. Faith means trust. Well, what am I trusting? Not what? Whom? Whom am I trusting? This is a rhetorical question. It's not what, it's whom. Because if what you're trusting for your salvation is not based on a person that promises you that salvation, then you can't really rely or trust in it, can you?
No.
I heard a preacher say not long ago, he says, I believe I'm saved. I know what he meant. But the Bible says, these things that are written that you might know, and knowing you might have eternal life. So that faith is based on God's Word. So if I depart the faith, what am I departing? The Word of God. And if I depart the Word of God, am I not departing from God?
Yes. Absolutely.
You see, that's why I would never think that a child of God could commit apostasy. That wouldn't make any sense. How can I depart from someone who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? I mean, If he's not going to leave me, how can I depart from him? Because everywhere I go, he's there, right? But there are those who will come in the last days and try to teach and preach that what God says is not what God says. Where does that go back to? And I tried to help you there by saying, where does that go back to? You remember in the Garden of Eden, Satan entered the serpent, and the serpent said to Adam and Eve, did God say? Oh, no, you won't die. So where does any false teaching and preaching come from? Satan. So if it comes from Satan, they have to belong to Satan, because they can't belong to God and teach contrary to God's word. That's not possible, my friend, because the Bible says that he cannot deny himself. That's why he says, if you deny me, well, isn't that what apostasy is? If you're departing from the word, if you're departing from God, you're denying him. He says, well, if you deny me, guess what? I'll deny you before my Father. Folks, look, what does that tell you? That tells you that everyone is going to stand before God the Father. And you better have somebody that don't deny you, but that stands for you. And says, they're mine. Because if you remember in Matthew 7, they said, oh, didn't we say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? Cast out demons and didn't we do all this? And he said, what? Depart from me. Now that can be more plain. I never knew you. It wasn't the fact that they were saying they knew him, right? But it didn't matter what they said. It's what he says. And if he says, I don't know you before the Father, guess what? You're done. You're done. You know, we heard a great message last week on knowing, didn't we? You know, and this preacher's doing, he'd be lying if he said he didn't do it. Because I do it, and I'm not a preacher. I'm a per-teacher. But I thought, now son, you can't finish this message until you go to Matthew 7 where he says, I never knew you. It's good that you know that God knows you. But I'll tell you what's bad. When God don't know you. You say, but God knows everything. Well, if you're not his son, he don't know you. Oh, he knows about you. He don't know you. He's not got a relationship with you. And that's what the word know means, an intimacy. He's not intimate with you. You're not his child. You're not his saint. You're not his. And so that's what apostasy is, and that's what Jude says. Jude says, look, it's coming because they're here. But before I tell you about them, I want to tell you about your own security. And that security is not based on something you believe. It's based on what God says. And you remember those three things. I gave you three things. Now, don't look at notes. If I catch you looking at notes, I'll get on you. I gave you three things. Do what now? Well, you got two of them, and that's okay, because preserved and sealed are the synonymous. They're the same thing. You remember the first one, he says that you are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. And we said that in some translations, maybe the one you have or others, that sanctified could be translated beloved. So he could have easily have said beloved by the Father. And we'll talk about that today. And preserved by Jesus Christ and called. But now remember I told you in the Greek language, the thing that gets the most emphasis is where? In the sentence. Is last. But in the English language, it's first. So I reversed it, didn't I? And we were talking about being called. Now, I told you that there was two things about the word called in the Bible. The first one was what?
External.
It's external. And remember, I gave you verse after verse that showed you. I went back to the Old Testament where he says, call upon him, O ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Right? And then in Ezekiel, where he says, turn ye, for why will you die? Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? And then I took you to Matthew 11, where he says, come unto me. And we took you verse after verse, where he's inviting. He's inviting people. And remember, we tried to emphasize the fact that it's not just anyone that's inviting us. It's God. God, who could have said in the Garden of Eden, let's do with all that, I'll do it again. He didn't. He made a way. And that way is called the plan of salvation. And that plan of salvation is based on one person and one person only. Jesus Christ. And so we talked about the external call. And that goes out to whom?
Everyone.
You don't have to say it like that. Huh? You said it like a question. Everyone? It is everyone, right? I'm just playing with you. It's just my method. I hope no one, don't ever be offended by my method of teaching. I know I'm weird, but it's just my way of doing it. But he talked about, for many are called, but few are chosen. And we told you that in that one verse, we get that dichotomy. That's all through Scripture. Remember, I've told you that. That's the thread. That's the thread. You know, there's a straight gate and a wide gate, right? And there's the saints and the ain'ts. That's the dichotomy. And he says, many are called. Many means all. And we talked about that. But few are chosen. Now, the word chosen means selected. It's where we get the word elect. If you are the elect, that means you've been selected. You've been chosen. And that's the part we want to start out with today is the internal call. Now, as I go through these verses, you're going to see that transformation. It's so plain. And it's not my plainness. That's not correct English. Please don't count off on me that. Don't get red pen out and circle me. It's the plainness of Scripture. The simplicity. That's why I try so hard, and I know I fail sometimes. I don't mean to, but I do. I try so hard to let Scripture tell you what Scripture says. To let Scripture interpret Scripture. Because if I come in here and tell you what I think the Scripture says, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But if I tell you what the Scripture says, it can't be wrong. You have to agree with it. So if you would look at, I got a lot of Scripture, so look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1.
Huh? So let me get there.
Okay. Well, you're teaching about sword drill. By the way, you had two little sword fighters last week. Boy, and I tell you what, they clicked off those names just like that, and they got all the way over to Proverbs. All right. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Now, there's three definitions of called in the Bible. One is an invitation. Now, that's what we talked about last week, wasn't it? It's the invitation of God that goes out to everyone. God invites everyone. Remember, and we took you over to Luke, and we showed you that that invitation can be rejected, didn't we? Because they all with one consent began to make excuses, and we showed you that. But here it's talking about appointed. Now, I believe, and when I say I believe, that's what I believe. It's just my understanding of what Scripture says. Paul says, I was called to be an apostle, an ambassador. In another place, he says he was called to be a preacher and a teacher to the Gentiles. I believe if you are a true preacher, if you are a true teacher, I believe you were appointed by God. I don't believe you woke up one morning and just decided on your own that your vocation in life is going to be a preacher. I don't believe it happens that way. I believe it's too serious for it to happen that way. Now, that's just what I believe. I believe if you are a real preacher, you're called of God. And I've always had trouble, me. Don't run out and say, oh, you can't believe what Tom said. I've always had trouble with preachers who decided one day they weren't going to preach anymore and they go into some other vocation. I've always had trouble with that because I don't believe God calls you to preach and then wakes you up one morning and you've got a different road to take. That's just me. Now, I'm just trying to explain the word called here. It just simply means appointed. Paul was appointed. He was called on the road to Damascus to be an ambassador for Christ. And then he goes on down here and he says, an apostle separated unto the gospel of God. That's his job. That's what he was called, appointed to do, was preach the gospel. And the gospel is what? About God promising beforehand by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Well, just like Paul was appointed to be an apostle and a preacher, the prophets that prophesied about the coming of Christ were also called and appointed. That's why they were given the message directly from God, because in the Old Testament, they were given the message directly. That's why they were called prophets. They could tell you the future, not because they were seers, but because God spoke through them. So he goes on to say, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also? Huh? Now don't leave that definitive article out there. Yeah, thank you. Because that's very important. But that's what takes it from an external invitation to an internal working of God. Because he says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? And then the next verse he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be, there's the third definition of the word called. It simply means a saint. Now, I'm not talking about someone who tries to be holier than thou. I'm talking about a saint of God. The word saint, it comes from the word sanctified. It means that one who is set apart by God for God. And that is how I know that there's two callings. Because everyone that receives the invitation doesn't become a saint because they refused. Yeah. They rejected, they refused the invitation, the external call. Therefore, they didn't get any working of God. Now, you see, the reason that's important is because the world would like for us to see a general thing. In other words, the world would like to see a general thing of we're all children of God. Well, that's not true. I'm going to show you it's not true. It can't be true. Why? Yeah, remember, that's where we all started. If it's not, hey, if God's word don't say it, it ain't true. God, let God be true and every man a liar. So, okay. Now, so he says in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now look over at Corinthians. I'll get there. Wait till I get there. You come on with me and I'll take you. All right, 1 Corinthians and verse let's read verse 1, 2. It says the same thing, only it's to a different church. And when I say a different church, it's here he's talking about not the church of God, which is the body of Christ. He's talking about called out ones, like Liberty Fellowship. This is an organization. The church of God is an organism. And there's a distinction. But here he's talking to called out ones or to a congregation. He says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So that lets me know, because the church of the living God wasn't located only at Corinth. So I know it's a body. And the word church is ecclesia. It simply means called out ones. There's that word again. So he says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are. Now, did you notice a little change there? In Jude, he says we're sanctified by God the Father. Here, he says we're sanctified by Jesus Christ. What's the difference? Huh? Well. He says in Jude that you are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
Okay, so how did the Father sanctify you?
He preserved us.
Well,
I know.
Through his Son. Remember, that's what Romans said. The gospel is concerning his Son. It's all about Jesus Christ. So he says that we're not only saying this. Listen, if this doesn't give you assurance, I don't know what I can tell you. You're not only sanctified by God the Father, you're sanctified by Jesus Christ, his Son. File that. We're not done. He says, unto the church of which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, there's that thing again, called to be saints. So how do I become a saint? Huh? That now, you're almost there. Here's the difference between the external call and the internal call. You have a choice on the external call. You don't have a choice on the internal. Once you've received, once you've believed, once you've accepted that invitation from God, God takes over. Aren't you glad for that? I am. I'm glad that all I had to do was call on him. Remember, that's what he said. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. See, hey, you, Pam, you can unseat her if you had to, honey. Oh, mercy. I mean, that thing is, she's so keen. And she got every word exactly right. Call upon him while he is near. Well, that's what you do. You seek for him, then you call out to him, and guess what? That's it. You're done. And that's all him. All that transformation. And that's what you get, folks. Listen, you not only get a transformation, you get transferred. You not only get a change, you get moved. Because he says now you are transformed and transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Remember, I've given you this illustration. It's like I'm here, okay? And then I receive the call. I believe the call. I accept the call. Guess what? God says, son, get on over here. That's not where you are anymore. Am I still over there? No. I've been moved. Listen, that's what salvation is. Salvation is not just a whim and you think, well, now I'm going to try to be better. No, salvation, to be a saint, to be called of God, is to be moved from one place to another. And for me to lose that, what would have to happen? No. Think about what I'm saying. For me to lose that, what would have to happen? If I've been moved from here to here, over here I was lost. Over here I was in the kingdom of darkness, right? So he moved me over to here. Now for me to lose that, what would have to happen? No, what would have to happen? Huh? I'd have to move over back. Well, if it was God that moved me over here, it'd have to be God that moved me back, wouldn't it? He ain't going to do that. Come on. God's not going to move you over here. And then one day you commit a sin, and he said, well, I'll just have to throw you back over there. Well, then you repent, and he says, well, okay, I'll throw you back over here. No, that's not security. That's not assurance, is it? That's not hope. Look over at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Notice, Christ sent me. Not to do one thing, but to do another. Why didn't he send him to baptize? Why didn't he send Paul to baptize? That's the question. That wasn't rhetorical. Why didn't he send Paul to baptize? Thank you for pitching in. I'm glad sometimes somebody will help me. Baptizing won't do anything for you. I mean, why would he send somebody to baptize somebody? Baptizing. Listen, you can get dunked 50 times. You know what? You'll come up. You'll come up dirty 50 times. He says, I sent him to preach the gospel. Because Paul in Romans said the gospel is what saves you. That's what gets you. So he says, I'm glad he didn't send me to baptize. Now, I'm not saying baptizing is not important. Certainly it's important. And you have to be baptized to be saved. Oh, I knew I'd get a look up then. But not water. For by one Spirit are we all... Thank you. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into Christ. That's the baptism that you need, my friend. Not water. Water is simply, and I'll say it till I die, water is simply us seeing what somebody says. In other words, they're going down, lost, but they're coming up, changed. That's what Romans 6 says. That's what to walk in what? Newness of life. So he says, I wasn't sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And then he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that, here's that dichotomy again. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. But unto us which are, now I'm going to give you two words there. And you can insert them, and it won't change the thing one bit, and it won't hurt the scripture one bit. But unto them that are called, unto them that are the called, it is the power of God. But unto them that are saints, it is the power of God. But unto them that are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written. See, did you notice what he did there? He says, listen, some's perishing and some's not. The ones that perish are the ones that think this is foolishness. The ones that are saved, it's the power of God. What does he base that on? Three words in the next verse. You can look and read it. Where it's written. You're saved today because it's written from God. You're a child of God because it's written. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that. And I'll say this to them that received the invitation. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews. Why was it a stumbling block to the Jews? Well, they didn't even believe he was the Messiah. They certainly didn't believe that they needed somebody to die on the cross for them. They're still under works. They're still under the ceremonial law. They're still going to the temple all the time with the sacrifice. It was a stumbling block for them. And unto the Greeks, why does it say foolishness unto the Greeks? Oh, now, see, so now you got it on both ways there. He says, if you're going to base everything on the law, that'll be a stumbling block for you because I fulfill the law under grace. But if you don't accept that, it's a stumbling block for you. You'll stumble over it all the time. And if you think that you're intellectual, that won't work either because you can't come to me with pride and intellect. You must come to me with humbleness. So he says, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. 1 Peter, maybe it's 1:15, you can check me out, says, for as he that hath called you is holy, be ye also holy in all manner of conversation or life. Now that can't be the external calling, folks. Why? Well, let me ask you this. Hypothetically now. Don't look at me too bad. Hypothetically. I call her Sis, so she don't mind. Sis is lost. Can Sis be holy in all manner of conversation or in life? No. So that can't mean the external call, can it? The only way Sis or me or you or Jean or Joan or Helen or anyone else can be holy and live holy is to be made holy. Isn't that what the Bible says? I think it does. For he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be, what's that word? That we might be made. Now, if you look that word up, it's a creative word. It means to take something, nothing, and create something. That we might be made the righteousness of God. You just don't try to do righteous things, honey. You are righteous. Not because you say you are, because because he says you are. That's the difference. And you're not holy because you think you are. You are holy because he made you holy. That's what sanctified means, to be made holy. And he says that you are sanctified by God the Father, and I just read to you that you are sanctified by Jesus Christ. Now, look, if you will, over at 2 Thessalonians. I believe it is. If I get there and it's not, I'll tell you what it says. 2 Thessalonians. Might be 1 Thessalonians. I don't remember until I get there. I know where it's at on my page here, though. Might be 1 Thessalonians. It's 2, chapter 2. And in chapter 2, what's the theme in chapter 2? Anyone want to take a guess? Huh? Well, it talks about, yeah, it talks about they were concerned about the day of Christ coming. You remember? And they were selling all their goods and everything. They were just going to sit around and wait. He says, oh, no, 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 no. He says, the day of Christ can't come until there first be a falling away. And until that great apostasy. And I realize that there's apostasy going on now, isn't there? Look, all you have to do is look around. My goodness, you can see example after example of people not believing this and how they live. You can see a lot of examples. But that just means the apostasy is here. That doesn't mean it's the great apostasy yet. It doesn't mean it's the great falling away yet. But when that comes, then the man of sin, he says, is going to be revealed. Boy, and then that, if I could say this reverently, all hell will break loose then. So he says up here in verse 13, he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through, where's that word again? Oh, we've got a different fire now, haven't we? What does it say? So let's think about this. For you to be saved, you have to be
sanctified,
set apart, or be made holy, right? Jude says that sanctifying work is through the Father. Paul said to the Corinthian church, you're sanctified through the Son. Well, right, Christ Jesus the Son. Here, he says, you're chosen to be saved by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. What sets you apart, Becky, from religious people? Listen, if you don't have the Spirit inside you, well, you don't have God. Do what? So he says that we're sanctified. Now, give me a word for chosen there. What'd you say, honey?
Select.
Thank you. It means to be selected. And I told you that when we're called the elect, it's because we've been selected. And that's what it means. So how are you chosen, Becky? How are you selected by God? How do you become the elect? How do you become the called? By the sanctifying work of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. Now, look, if you will, over at Romans chapter 8. Now, everyone knows this. I could just quote it to you, and everyone would just quote right along with me, wouldn't you? Romans 8 and 28. But I want to read, just before that, I want to read why it says that. It's really good. I mean, it's really good. And I think you'll like it. Maybe you've heard it before. If you have, it'll be a repeat. All right, here we go. Now, he starts out up here. He's talking about being saved in 24, okay? He says, for we are saved by hope. Now, let me clear that up right there. That doesn't mean hope so, wish so, you know. Well, I hope this works out. You know, that means it could or it might not, right? But if you said, well, I know this is going to work out, that's assurance. That's what the word means, to have full assurance. Look, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So when he's talking about hope here, he's not talking, well, I'm hopeful that'll work out. No, well, he's talking about assurance here. How can you be assured of anything, Stacy? You hold it, the word. That's faith. Okay, I ain't going back to that now. For we are saved by hope, and hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit. Remember now, the Spirit, I just told you, sanctifies you, right? Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. I mean, if you've got a weakness, raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. Now, if you don't have weakness, don't raise your hand because you're perfect. Now, he says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we believe not. No. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, how many of you have went to pray? And you've got something to pray for, but well, you just don't know how. The words won't come. I'll give you a good example. Now, don't take this wrong. This is just my example. You've got your own. I don't care. The Bible says that I'm to pray for the president. I got to tell you, folks, I have difficulty. I'm just confessing to you. I don't know how to pray for him. If he's saved, wonderful. If he's not, that's a different prayer. But you know who does know? The Holy Spirit of God. And so when I say, Lord, I want to pray for the president. I don't agree with him politically. I don't agree with him policy-wise. I don't agree with some of the things he stands for. Lord, you told me to pray for the leader. I want to pray for him. Well, guess what? He says, the Spirit knoweth. That's all I can do right there. I got to leave it there. I got a text this week. Someone wants me to pray for their grandson. Said, now. You know what that tells you, don't you? Hey, this is weighing on me. You know what I did? I went to the Lord in prayer, and you know what I said? Lord, I don't know what the issue is. I don't know what the problem is. But you know who does? The Spirit. Now follow me on this. This is good if you'll follow me. He says, but the Spirit knoweth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, but as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. He's talking to God on things you'll never know that he talked to God about, except the fact that he says, if you'll come to me, I'll go to him and I'll ask him what he needs to be asked. And he, God, see, I'm,
sometimes I have trouble with pronouns and things, because I make me notes, so I know who's the pronoun in you. So I said, God the Father that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the... Now, what's another word for saints? The called, the saved, the children of God. And do you not get great joy out of that? Don't it make you just warm inside to know that God's praying for you? Wasn't that what he told Peter? Peter, Satan wanted to sift you, but I have prayed for you. Well, I'll tell you another thing. I don't believe the Spirit's ever made a prayer to God the Father that God the Father didn't hear either. I'll guarantee you that. No, so he says, for the saints, according to the... Well, listen, he says, anything you ask in my name, I'll... Well, that's the same thing saying in my will. You know, we pray for the will of God, don't we? Well, we don't always know the will of God, do we? But you know who does know the will of God? God the Spirit. And he's praying for it. And guess what? That's what it's going to be. And then these verses. Now these verses will make more sense to you. And we know. Now, why do we know? Because of what he just said. Because of the Spirit is interceding for me. I know that all things work together for... Well, you don't think anything the Spirit's going to ask the Father for you is for you bad, do you? But we know that all things work together for good to them that... Listen, if you don't love God, the Spirit ain't praying for you. You can put that down. Because if you rejected the invitation, you can't say, I love God. You don't even know God. So he says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are... No, don't leave that definitive article out, honey, please. I don't. If your Bible says called, you write the in front of it. Because it's important. It's the call now. Because it's that internal working. It's what makes you a saint of God. It's what makes you a child of God. It's what makes you to know God. And it's what makes all things work together for good to them that are the called according to his plan. For whom he did foreknow, he also... Put me a clock up. For whom he did know, he also did... Predestinate. Now look, I know, I can't destination to you folks. I'd be under the bed saying the Greek alphabet. But I'm going to tell you this, and I won't back up from it. God's sovereign. God will predestinate whatever he wants to predestinate. You know, I've heard people say, God don't say to this one you go to hell and this one you go to heaven. If God wants to, he can. If he wants to say, Tom, you ain't going to heaven, you're going to hell, guess where Tom's going? He's God. He's sovereign. But he's talking here. He says, now listen, he says, the reason you can know that all things work together for good for you is because you even predestinated. You come to my son, I predestinate everything else. You won't have to worry. I'll take care of it. You know, it's like they told Spurgeon one time. They said, well, if you're only giving the invitation to the elect, why don't you just preach to the elect since they're the ones that's going to come? He says, well, if you go around and raise everybody's shirt tail up so I can see a stamp on the back, elect, I will. You know, there's a verse in John that says this, all whom the Father giveth me, that's predestination for me. Anybody stretch the imagination right there, folks. All whom the Father giveth me will come. All whom the Father giveth me will
come to me, and I will in no, and all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you see why salvation is simplicity in faith? Listen, predestination's way over my head. I just believe it. I believe God's sovereign. I believe God said, you come through my son, I'll take care of everything else. You don't have to worry about it. Because he says, whom he did predestinate, he also did conform to be the image of his son. You're going to be just like my son. Do you think he loves his son? Well, if you just like his son, guess what, Dwayne? He's going to love you too. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also... Notice he put the predestination in there before the call. Huh? Did you notice that?
Yes.
Huh? You know what that means?
That means
that he set in stone the plan of salvation. It's through his son. That's settled, he says. And when you come through my son, it's also settled that you're going to be a saint. You're going to be called. He says, to be called, and whom he called, them he also
justified.
Listen, once you come, and once he does his work includes justification. Being justified with God, therefore we have peace with God. But this last one is what's good. And then I got to quit. I'll pick up next week. Not only did he justify you, I want you to raise your hand if you're living in your glorified body right now. Raise your hand if you're living in your glorified body right now. Raise your hand. All right, I'll give you another one. Raise your hand if you're glorified right now. Well, I got a preacher over here, barely got it up. He's not, I don't know if he's not sure. He got bad arm. I don't know which it is. When you get his age, hey, it could be. By the way, when are we having a birthday party for you? I thought when you got to be a certain age, we had a birthday party for you. So anyway, let me finish, and then I'm done. He says, them he also glorified. You know what that means, Sandy? That means when you're a saint of God, you're already there. You just ain't got your body yet, because Romans also says that this earth is waiting for the adoption to wit, just like your body. Your body ain't going. But guess what? You're going to have a glorified body fashioned like into his glorified body. You're glorified. All right, see you next week. I'll quit.
it on.
$181. All right, it's good to see everyone this morning. Good to have this wonderful crowd. Good to be in God's house. Page 181, please. Let's stand and sing.